Off the Ball.
In association with Air. Don't miss live and exclusive Premier League action this month on the Air Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
You're very welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan and Kevin in studio. I'm delighted to have been joined by Andy Lee. How are you?
Grand, Nathan. How are you?
Good. So, interesting news yesterday that Michael Conlon is moving back to this side of the water. He's moving to London on a permanent basis and he's going to work with your old mate, Adam Booth. Surprised to hear this?
Not really. Well, I kind of knew for the last couple of weeks that they've been working together, so Adam likes to take his time before jumping and saying, yeah, I'll definitely train you. So they kind of had a trial period and seeing how they gelled together, their chemistry was good. It seems like there is, I was speaking to Adam today, and he said a few things that he's seen that Michael needs to improve on and work on, but he's also like seen some things that he's very impressed by in terms of his intelligence in the ring, his winning mentality, and also like the year that he's had in California, sparring with a lot of Mexicans in that tough gym. He's learned how to do a lot more infighting than he would for an amateur turning pro at this stage of in his career. So obviously Michael was probably the best amateur in the world when he was amateur in 2016, the Olympics aside. And so there's huge potential there, obviously immense talent, and nobody better than Adam Booth to mould that.
Well, how quickly can he adjust? I'm looking at Billy John Saunders and how quickly he adapted to the style of Dominic Ingle for his last fight. He looked so impressive in his last victory. So how quickly will he adapt or can he adapt? What's the usual term on that?
In terms of Billy Joe and Dominic Ingle, it's styles that suits a fighter, that suits, you know, some coaches suit certain, can train certain styles, and Billy Joe Saunders and Dominic Ingle seem to have a style that would gel well together, because Billy Joe's very much an elusive boxer, a tricky, slick boxer, you know, and that's kind of the Ingle style as well, awkward and using footwork and feints, and that's Billy Joe's game. So that's they kind of, and similar with Michael, although his style is earlier in his amateur career, like when he first came into the senior team, he was very much a pro style of amateur boxer, but being in the high performance and working with those high tech, you know, with Zoran, working on his technique and becoming more attuned to the international style, it's certainly different than the pro style. So he has to kind of almost revert back to what he was before, but I think him and Adam will gel well together. I mean, not only with Adam, he has Ryan Burnett there, who's the same, almost the same weight, if not one weight, there's one weight division between them, a few kilos. Charlie Edwards is there, who's the British champion, and Lucian Reed, who's a decent featherweight. So they've got he's got great competition and great guys to be you know, aiming for that kind of standard where he needs to be.
That process of spending a couple of weeks together and figuring it out if it's the right thing for both parties, did you go through that with Adam Booth?
Yes, I I went to London in 2012. I was over there doing some work coverage for the Olympics, and for all that time we had like a trial period, and even after that we were still unsure, because more than anybody else to who Adam's trained, my style wouldn't have suited Adam, because Adam's fighters are kind of aggressive counterpunchers with great physical attributes, which he trains them to have, you know, where my style would have been tall, classic kind of upright boxer Kronk style of fighting, and it's kind of the opposite of what Adam trained. So it took him a long time and me a long time for us to reach some medium between us.
There's more than just boxing reasons for Michael Conlon coming back here. He is another child on the way, so he clearly wants to be back close to home once again. In terms of what he's done so far as a professional under Manny Robles in California, training with a lot of those Mexican fighters, from what you've seen, has he picked up bad habits over there that Adam Booth will be looking to correct straight away?
Adam, I was speaking to him today, he said that he might have had a year of fighting in the gym using his heart more than his brain, and that his legs may have slowed down a little bit too much, that he was kind of holding his feet too much and looking to trade. That's something that he can pick up. You know, you see the difference, like, it is an adjustment from turning, when you turn pro, and it does take time, you know. Amateur boxing, especially when you've been ingrained in amateur boxing for a long time, like Michael has, like Katie Taylor has, these are like the two that I see the most. When you're amateur boxing, it's in the moment, it's in the instant, and it's very much you're improvising every moment, you know. The punches are coming and you're just reacting and acting and reacting, where professional boxing certainly has that, but you also have to have some sort of strategic plan about the fight. You have to look at whether it be 6 rounds, 8 rounds, or 12 rounds, and plot the fight out,
yeah,
and invest in the first round, the second round, the third round, to say, I'm doing this now and it'll pay off in 3 or 4 rounds. And that's the difference between professional and amateur boxing, that you get, it's a luxury in a sense. And the damage are at a disadvantage because they have to be out there from the word go. They can't warm into a fight. Where in professional boxing, you had like, so say with Katie in her fights or Michael, they're not really thinking 3 or 4 rounds ahead. Maybe they are, but from my observation from the outside, it looks like they're still fighting in the moment. And
how long does it take you to learn that?
It will take time, and it'll just about slowing things down and learning how to get by in a round without having to exert so much energy and take shots and be in a war, you know. Like we've seen with Katie, where she's been.
Does that not affect you though more when you start? Because you're only fighting over a 3 or 4 round when you're actually coming into the pro game as well, though. Your roundage is not necessarily increasing so quickly, is it?
Yeah, and well, with Michael, he's probably had an easier opposition than he's been used to, certainly for the last 4 or 5 years in the amateurs. This level of the standard of boxer would have been a lot higher. Whereas with Katie, he's kind of been pushed into the deep end a lot more, and she's been fighting real tough opponents. Mm. So she's kind of not had that those few fights where she could say, okay, I'm just going to work on my jab just for this one fight, or I'm just going to take this fight and just work on defense. Now, those are the type of things that it's hard, because the high profile amateurs and Michael's headlining fights in New York, like, it's hard that he can't really go out there and say I'm going to take this fight against a journeyman off TV and go 6 rounds and don't have to impress. Work and just work on a couple of things, like say if Adam says your feet are too slow or you're standing too much in the pocket, where he can take that fight and move around. So it's tough for them because they're exceptional amateurs and there's a level of expectation and weight of expectation on them that they have to perform, but they also need time to adjust, and they will only get it with experience. I could tell them, anyone could tell them, their coach could tell them, but they will only learn it in the ring and in the gym.
So watching Conlon, would your sense be that actually this is a very good time to make this move? He's had his year in California, and maybe he needed to blow off a bit of steam after the frustration of Rio and get these 4 fights under his belt where he could be a little bit exuberant. Whereas now, when he's starting to think into these longer fights, thinking about world titles over the next 2-3 years, he needs to get that discipline. He needs to get that sort of in-ring know-how that Adam Booth can give him.
One thing you get with Adam is punching power. The way Adam trains, the physical side of the training that he does, in terms of the circuits, the weight training, the track work, it's all about explosive power, power endurance, like the bag work and the sessions he does.
How's that different to other coaches?
A lot of guys, I don't know if they don't have the knowledge, or there's many aspects of what makes a great trainer, but Adam used to lecture in physiology, and so he knows the human body, and he's over the years he's tailored his training for boxing, specifically for boxing. So we do certain exercises like bag drills and arm circuits and leg circuits that just are tailor made for boxers, that are all designed for boxing, the sport specific. And not only that, he's well able to, he's better than anyone else I've seen to communicate and verbalize and articulate what he sees and what he wants you to do. You know, it's very hard.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys who could be like Adam and me, or Adam and another coach could be watching the same two guys sparring, and Adam will see something that, not like, it's a no and I. And I believe I'm his biggest advocate. You know, when Jason Quigley went to the Ingles, I was speaking to him and I was saying, go to Adam Booth. There's no, like, if any, well, I would encourage any young fighter to go to Adam Booth, but Adam is very selective in who he chooses to train, hence the trials that he has with guys. But he'll get it there in the gym. He'll learn how to punch harder, but it's not just about punching. He'll learn how to navigate the fights, and it was, you know, it will come. I think he's in a great place.
What sort of process does Adam Booth go through then before selecting his fighters?
I think not with Adam, it's not just about the fighter, it's about the person.
Yeah.
And whether he thinks it's worth him investing his time and energy in this guy. Like, it's an intimate relationship with a coach, and you're like, nobody knows you more than, like, I don't know, with soccer, it's different because there's, you know, yeah, 11 guys, maybe 24 course, in the squad, yeah, and you don't get time. But when you're with a coach and a boxer, they have to know you inside out. They have to know what makes you tick, and they have to know what's going on in your life outside the gym. If there's external, you know, pressures or things that might influence you when you step into the ring. And so Adam takes a lot of time to know his fighters, and even now, even that they're training, they still might be in a trial period. You know, it might be 5 or 6 fights, and Adam, they might go separate ways. So, and that could be Adam or it could be Michael. Yeah. Who knows? But Adam, it does. It's very much about the person.
The process of adding punching power. So he's coached yourself. Mm-hmm. He's coached the likes of David Haye, but he's also with Ryan Burnett and the lighter fighters. Is that a very different process, trying to get that sort of punching
power? Not so much as well, like going Conlon? Back to like the physical training, it's also the technique that Adam teaches. When I was when I was in the Kronk with Emmanuel Stewart, the knockouts I would have had would have been from like little tricks and little moves that Emmanuel would have showed me, and beating people with speed and changing the speed of punches and changing the pressure of punches and knowing when to hit them, like blinding them with one punch and hitting them with another punch. Whereas with the knockouts I had with Adam, we're just pure strength and timing. And I don't know, it's like, you know, when you're an amateur and you've trained with that technique, you have to hit at the target and score the point. But where you would in a professional, you really have to punch through the target. And it's kind of like a golf swing. You know, it comes from the hips and it kind of follows through. And it's all about, you know, leverage from the layer. Starts in your toes and all the way up from your body.
Does Conlon have that naturally?
He'll get it. He's coordinated. He'll learn it. But he'll be getting it drilled. It comes from repetition and and it's all in the hips, you know. It's mostly comes from
it's
the
all
hips.
About the hips, isn't it? It always is, yeah.
They do not lie. What's the trajectory then for Conlon over the next, say, even if it is only 6-7 fights he was to end up spending with Adam Booth? Like, how far away is he from the world title fight?
It depends on what Michael's. You'd see, like, with me, it was always, I was never going to go. There's some fighters who jump from coach to coach to coach and learn a little bit and move on, and they think that's the best way to do it. I was always with Emmanuel Stewart, and then when Emmanuel Stewart passed away, there was only one person I wanted to train with, and that was Adam.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, I got to work with him. And it depends if Michael wants to be, you know, has that relationship. If Michael and Adam can form that bond and have that relationship, like Brian Burnett has now with Adam, that they can form partnership and work towards them, and then they can plot it out, not just this year or next year, no, the years to come. Like Michael, probably not this year or next year, but by the end of next year Michael should be in line to fight for a title. I'm not sure if that'll be a world title. Maybe on the way he could pick up the British title, maybe the European, maybe, you know, he'll fight for a North American title. But he should be knocking on the door at the end of 2019 for a world title, you know. And it's just about going, you know, plotting out, finding the best way. Like, he needs to step up an opponent, in level of opponent, I think, because he'll adjust to the higher level. He's kind of being dragged down. If you've seen the guys he's fought recently, there have not been any competition at all, and in a sense they're making him look bad because they're so bad. So I think if he fights better opponents who will take a chance of trying to hurt him, then he'll get opportunities to hurt them, and you know.
Yeah, and he's staying with Top Rank even though he's moving to England, and it seems as though he's still going to be fighting out of America.
It looks
by and large.
Yeah, well, he's scheduled to fight March 17th. Mm. He's headlining in the Garden, and that's an incredible feat in itself, you know, for a young pro.
We've spoken before about Katie Taylor, and it seems as though her homecoming is off, and that we've spoken about trying to sell a show in Ireland for a featherweight, for a world title fight. Is there the status of opposition there for Conlon that this is something certainly that everybody can get behind? Like, who's he looking at?
The featherweight division is flooded with talent. Well, at home we have Carl Frampton. He's due to fight Nonito Donaire in April. There's Lomachenko. There's Gary Russell Jr. Just in Britain and in Ireland, there's Frampton. There's Kid Galahad, Josh Warrington, and Lee Selby. So it's flooded with talent.
Mm.
He's coming into it, you know. He's way off those guys yet. He's got a couple of years, but those guys will still be around in a couple of years, and those will be potential fights for him in the future.
Yeah, and they're both part of MTK, both himself and Frampton. So, like, it's something. Is that something you should be almost setting as a goal? Two and a half years. That's the level I expect to be at.
Certainly, yeah. Michael's, in terms of talent and skill, Michael's on that level, but he just needs the experience, the time, and learn his trade, learn his craft as a pro. And like, he's got all the ingredients. He's going to be a world champion, and he should be. You know, only things from outside of boxing that will, you know, derail him.
Yeah.
He's got the talent. He has the right team behind him, it seems. And if he can form a bond with Adam Booth and a partnership with him, he's got all the ingredients to be a world champion and a superstar.
Yeah, that derailing, like, we don't know what goes on a lot of the time outside the ring, but being with Adam Booth, your sense is that that's less likely to happen?
Yeah, well, Adam's, he's done it. He's got the track record, and he will guide him, and he will mould him as a fighter, but as a person as well. It's a huge influence. You know, it's only second to your dad or your brothers, you know, the coach, because he's there with you day in, day out, and he knows what you're going through, and you have that shared bond of fighting together. You know, you're going, it's like men have gone to war together. You know, it goes back to whatever, you know, ancient warriors of preparing and going to war, and it's the modern day equivalent of that.
While you're here, the Danny Jacobs fight, is it going to be Spike O'Sullivan, do you think?
Looks very much like it now. When I was here and I spoke to Joe, I said, Joe, they're probably just using my name just to come to some agreement with Spike O'Sullivan to force him to accept terms, and that, more or less, that's what happened. But good luck.
How do you feel about that?
Disappointed, you know, because there wasn't, if they didn't come to agreement, then I was the next in line to get the fight. But yeah, a little disappointed, but good luck to Spike O'Sullivan. You know, I don't begrudge him the fight. He's worked hard. He's won his last fight, which was a good fight in America, in Canada, on HBO. So he deserves a big fight, and I wish him luck. Yeah, it's going to be a tough fight.
What do you think?
Tough fight. Yeah. Tough fight. Just in the styles, and you know, like, just the way styles make fights, where you might beat Nathan might beat me, but I might beat you, you know. Spike O'Sullivan will be coming forward and being aggressive, but Danny Jacobs kind of has the wrong style for him. I think it's a tough fight, but Spike is a big puncher and has a puncher's chance.
So then you going to the gym was worth my while. You just said I could beat him. I wouldn't want to try it out now. You just going to bide your time then and still just wait? And if
yeah, I'm
right
not going to make any decision anytime soon, but you know, with it, not with each fight that passes you by or that I don't accept, it becomes less likely that I will return, you know, because time has gone by. But
is there a part of you inside that just wakes up in the morning and hopes that there's an email there saying
no? Yeah, there's that, like, especially when, like, say when I got the message from Adam Booth saying he's been talking to Eddie Hearn and there's a chance that
I'll give you that buzz.
Yeah, buzzing again. But I didn't get, don't get your hopes up too much, you know, at this stage. It's just, it's always talking. I've been in the game too long just to, you know.
Yeah.
When I was 21 and those calls were happening, I was, you know, and then it didn't happen, I'd be down at the dogs. But there.
It's like a footballer getting a call off your agent. You're getting these calls all the time. You kind of, at first, you're buzzing, and then after that, you're like, leave it. Yeah. Nothing.
£5 million transfer is nothing. It's fine. It's fine. Another paycheck. Andy, great stuff as always. Listen, you're always welcome here. It's great to have you part of the Off the Ball team. Great insight as always. Kev is going to stick with us. The football show is up next.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.